So see if you can open up now to Daf Chaf Aleph Amid Beis. And we're going to count up from the bottom of the Amud, 1, 2, 3, 4, 4 lines, Kufa. And the Gemara is now focused on a statement of Rabbi Yossi Rab Chanina. And this statement, although it applies to the Kiyar specifically, which kept the Mayim, but our agenda for today is to see if we could derive certain principles about klisharis in general. So we've honed in on Kiyar, but we may see that the mechanics of being machshir a klisharis really depends upon this sugya of Kiyar. So the statement of Rabbi Yossi is the following. There's a pasuk in Shmos at the very end of the Sefer with regard to the Kiyar, and it says, "V'rochatzu mimenu Moshe v'Aaron u'bonav." And Rabbi Yossi understands that the Torah is not just telling me history, but it's telling me halacha. Moshe, Aaron, u'bonav are going to be mekadesh themselves; they'll sanctify themselves from the Kiyar through Rechitzas Yodayim for Aglayim. And Moshe is one, Aaron is two, Bonav is another two, which means that we're talking about Elazar ve'Itamar after the death of Nadav Avihu. So we have a total of four people, four Kohanim in this case, are going to sanctify themselves from the Kiyar. And therefore, kol Kiyar she'ein bo kidei l'kadish arba Kohanim imenu. If the Kiyar doesn't have a volume of water that would be sufficient for four Kohanim simultaneously to be Makadish themselves, ain't Makadishim bo, it's possible. And the Gemara says, Mesvei, how could you say such a thing when we have a brisa of kol hakelim Makadishim, that you can use any kli for Kiddush Yadayim for Aglayim, Bein She'yesh Bahem Revius. Take a look at the Chav Beis of an Aleph. Bein She'ein Bahem Revius. In other words, with regard to Netilas Yadayim, you need a Revius Mayim in order to mekayim the mitzvah of Netilas Yadayim. But with regard to Kiddush Yadayim for Aglayim, it doesn't. The halacha doesn't require, so says the Braisa, that the keli has to contain a volume of water that's equal to a Revius. And there is no shear of revius. So you have a kli that doesn't have the capacity to hold a revius. It's not kosher for netilas yadayim, but as far as kiddush yadayim reglayim, it's kosher. And that's what Rashi says here on the top. V'afal gav deleka shi'ura gabi netilas yadayim. Nevertheless, the gabi kiddush lo be'inon shi'ur. So how can you tell me that the kli shares, which is called a kiyar in this case, has to be able to hold on to, it's a receptacle that's large enough for a volume of four, the four kohanim could be Makadish Yadayim, when the Bryce establishes that you don't even need a revius mayim in the kiyar. Now Tosus Dibra Maskel Bain on the top of Chaf Beis of an Aleph wants to suggest something and then reject it, that maybe you could differentiate between Netilas Yadayim and Kiddush Yadayim for Aglayim and say they're two separate dinim. And even though a kli that cannot hold on to Revius Mayim is possible for Netilas Yadayim, but maybe it could be machshir for Kiddush, he says, im ein kli machzik revius possible in Netilas Yadayim, and therefore he says maybe we should say that if so facto it should be possible for Kiddush Yadayim v'Aglayim. The Bryce is only saying that in Netilas Yadayim v'Aglayim, in Netilas Yadayim, as opposed to Kiddush Yadayim v'Aglayim, shnei b'nei adam, two people, yicholim litol yadayim mirevius achas. So you can take a revius yayin, I keep saying yayin, but I mean mayin, and you could pour it over two people's hands. As long as the kli has a revius of mayim in it, that's sufficient. And therefore, we can maintain the equation between kiyar for Kiddush Yadayim v'Aglayim and a kli for Netilas Yadayim. Because the kli for Netilas Yadayim will hold enough water that amounts to a revius mayim, And now, it doesn't matter how much mayim goes on the hands of any individual person, as long as you can pour from this kli onto both people, Reuven and Shimon, that's sufficient. The same thing should apply in the case of a kiyar, that we're going to have four kohanim be makadish themselves simultaneously from the water that's in the kiyar, and it doesn't matter how much water there is in the kiyar. The kiyar doesn't have a revius of mayim in it. Ubilvad, the only condition that we need for this kli for kiddush yadayim reglaim, shiyahu kli sharetz. It only has to be a kli sharetz. So from this price, we see that with regard to kiddush yadayim reglaim, there's no shear, there's no minimum amount of water that has to be held in the kli. Even less than revius is kosher, and yet Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Hanina says that you need in the kiyar to have enough of a volume of water that you could be mekadesh four kohanim. So, is there a shear? Is there a minimal amount, or is that not a minimal amount? Now, again, according to this brisa, the kiyar could have, it could be kosher even though it has less than revius. Okay, now are we talking about how much water is actually in the kiyar or the capacity of the kiyar to hold that water? In other words, you could have a situation where the kiyar has a capacity to hold, it's large enough to hold four revios, let's say, but the kli itself right now doesn't have a revios yayin in it. He says, Hagemara lo pirsha es habraisa shechshira pachos mirvius bi ofen she hakiu roi lahachzik revius mayim v'ahoye bo b'tchila shir zeh v'kosh l'kadish menu af she b'shas hakidush kvar nismatu ha-mayimov. Couldn't the Gemara give the following reconciliation? Ein achinami, what Rabbi Yossi said before is true. The kiyar, in order to be kosher, has to have the capacity to hold enough water for the kiddush of four kohen. That Rabbi Yossi is correct. Either Brisa says it's ein ben revius, it means now at the moment of kiddush there was enough water for four kohenim, and the kli, the kiyar was large enough to hold the capacity for four kohenim, but now it's this might. That would have been an easy reconciliation of this problem. So he points out here in the name of the Zevach Todah that the Lashon HaBraisa would not tolerate it. Because the Braisa says that even if the Kli itself would not hold the revius, he can still be Mekadesh Bo. Omer Av Adabar Acha Bekodeach Betocho. So let's read Rashi. Bekodeach Betocho. Kodeach means to drill a hole. So he says, Kodeach dofno shel kiyor. He drills a hole in the side of the kiyor. And what does he insert into that hole? The toche betocho kli katan. And he injects into this hole a small kli. Umiktsaso lachutz. So it's part of the kli is inside the kiyar, and part of the kli is outside the kiyar. V'yonek meimei kli hakiyar, and it draws water from the kiyar. Umotzi, and it brings it out. Amol biapi nafshi be'inin shir arba kohen. In other words, Rabbi Yossi is right that in a normal situation, a setup of a kiyar, you need that the kiyar be large enough to hold the volume that's roi for kiddush of four kohen. Why does the Braisa say even ein b'em revius? Because the Braisa is talking about a case where you connect a smaller kli into the larger kli by doing this whole operation of kodeach. And therefore, since the mei kiyar have the capacity inside the kiyar for four kohanim, you fulfill that requirement. And somehow the mayim, the water that's inside this small kli, although it doesn't have a shear revius, it gets the status of the shear of arba kohanim because it's connected directly to the kiyar. Now here, if you take a look at the page that we photocopied here, And we're looking now on page Shin Aleph, right? Is that the first page of your photocopy?
Yes.
So he says the following: Pirush Rashi shekodeach dofno shel kior v'tochev b'tocho kli katan v'tzasol l'chutz v'yonik b'mei kior u'motzi avol b'api nafshe v'inon shir arba kohenim v'tzarech im. He asks the following question: Mimonafshach im mikrish v'kadesh mei kli. If the kiddush al pidin is related to the kli, ha'embo shir dalet kohen, and we're assuming like Rabbi Yossi that you need a shir of dalet kohen. V'im mikri mekadish min akiyor al yidei shakli mechuber lakir. If we'll say that the kli itself is only a vehicle through which the kiddush is being done in the kir itself. In other words, the actual implementation of the kiddush is coming from this small kli, but the kli facilitates halachically al pi din a kiddush from the kiyor itself. Is amai be'inun shehei kli sharis. The brice itself says ubilvad shehei kli sharis. Why do I need it to be a kli sharis? Let's just take any kli off the shelf, out of the cabinet. V'nechshav hakiddush al yidei hakiyor. So again, let's go over the question. Phenomenal question. He says that we definitely need kiddush from a kli sharis. That's a prerequisite. The Bryce is outspoken about that. So we're going to have to assume, therefore, that this kiddush is coming from the kiyor. So he says the following: if then we view the kli itself as nothing more than a vehicle, a means to an end, meaning it links up his kiddush with the kiyor, and that has to be done because the kiddush has to be in a kli sharis. So then I don't get it. He's saying if the kli is only functioning in a secondary capacity, meaning that the kiddush is not in the kli itself or from the kli itself, but from the kli, from the kiyor. So why? Who cares what the status of this kli is? The kli is only a way of getting the mind from the kiyor onto the hands and feet of the kohen. But the kiddush al pi din is coming from the kiyor. So why do you insist on the condition that the kli itself be a kli sharis? Let it not be a kli sharis. El, the answer is, it must be that the kiddush is related to the kli itself. And that's why the Braisa stipulates that the kli has to be a kli sharis. Now, if that be the case, then we're back to square one. Because Rabbi Yossi says you can only do a kiddush from a kir that's machzik, that has enough water for four kohanim. And the Braisa says about this small kli that it doesn't have any shear, not even a revius. So in the next paragraph, he quotes the Brisker Rav. And he wants to set up like a complicated, I call it a tzvei dinim. He says, really, it's true that the kiddush itself is from the kli, and therefore you need it to be a kli sharis. It's not that the kli is facilitating, is linking up the kiddush diamond line with the kiyor. Aval, he says, al yidei damayim yanke min akiyor, since the water that's in this small utensil is being drawn from the kiyor, is mitstarfin me akiyor l'shir dalet kohen. So it's Tzvei Dinim over here. If you're asking me where is the kiddush, the answer is it's in the kli. But if you're asking me where is the mayim is in the kiyor. In other words, since the water in the kli is being drawn from the water of the kiyor, then the shear of Dalet Kohanim is a shear in the water. The water has to be suitable for Kohanim. So we have in the kiyor, as Rabbi Yossi insists, a volume of water that's suitable, that's appropriate for four kohanim. Now that water is transferred into the small kli, so to speak, not physically, because again, the small kli doesn't have the capacity of that kind of water, but as long as there's a continuous flow of water as the kli is drawing the water from the kiyor, it's considered as if the kiddush is being done in the water that's in the kiyor. Again, the water is in the kiyor. The kli itself that he's being mekadesh himself from is this small kli. And that's why the kli doesn't require a shear at all, even according to Rabbi Yossi. Ulahachi lo be'inan shiyah kli shear. You don't need the shear in the kli. You know, it's the water can can come from the kiyar, but the kli itself is this small kli and it doesn't have any shear in it. And the reason why it doesn't have any shear in it is because the whole din of Dalid, the whole requirement according to Rabbi Yossi of Dalid Kohanim is only a shear in Mayim. So how could you imagine, this is how the halakhic universe works, in your wildest dreams, a kli that's minuscule and yet it has a capacity for four kohanim, for mayim for four kohanim. It's a contradiction in Ayubay. But only in the halakhic universe can you have such a thing. Why? Because the din of four kohanim is only with regard to the mayim, not with regard to the kli. So the mayim has to have a capacity of four kohanim. How can I have a capacity of four kohanim with a small kli? L'chor, that's impossible. The answer is through this process in which the small kli is drawing the water from the big kli, from the kiyar. It's as if his kiddush is being done in the mayim of the kiyar, which is now located in the kli katan. So the kiddush is in the kli katan, but the mayim, and we need the shear of Dalet Kohanim, that's the mayim of the kiyar. That's what I call a brisket sveidini. He's being machalic between the kli and the mayim.
Sveidini means two dini?
Two dimensions of one dini. That's where you take one dini, you smash it into its two component parts. So that's what we're doing over here. We're saying that the din of Dalet Kohanim and the din of the kli for kiddush are two different dinim. Or shall we say two different dimensions of one din. So kiddush yadayim raglayim now splits into two. You need a kiddush from a kli. Again, that kli has to have a kli sharet. But the volume of that kli is irrelevant. It could be minuscule. Why? Because the shear of Dalet Kohanim is in the mayim. Now, if it's in the mayim, so what difference does it make? If it's in the mayim, you need a mayim of Dalet Kohanim, then the kli has to hold Dalet Kohanim. No, the answer is no. Why? Because I can set up a mechanism by which, although the kiddush is in a kli, and that kli could not possibly have the capacity of holding Dalet Kohanim, but nevertheless the mayim that he's using for the kiddush in that kli is a mayim sheyesh bo Dalet Kohanim. Why? Because since this kli draws its mayim from the kiyar, then it's considered as if the mayim and the kiyar are facilitating the actual kiddush yadayim raglayim that's taking place in a different kli. And that other kli has only one condition. It has to be a kli shoris. Ella de la fize on the bottom left, he says, Tzarech biur, amai be'inin shiyu shar ha-mayim b'kiyar, keiman de lo be'inin lehu, l'maisi kiddush ha-shiyit starfu l'shir kiddush, amai lo sagi shiyu af b'kli chol. So let's see if we can analyze this question. He says that if the kli itself for kiddush could be any kli sharis, so the small kli can effectuate the kiddush, so then why is it necessary that the water that's being drawn into that kli is the water of the kiyar? Let it be the water of any kli, right? We only have a shear of Dalet Kohanim, but we have the shear of Dalet Kohanim insofar as the small kli is drawing water from the logically. But why does that logically have to be a kiyar? The kiddush is being accomplished by the kli, not by the kiyar. So we've already fulfilled the requirement of a kli sharis. We have a kli sharis. Why then do we need that the water be contained in a kli sharis, meaning the water be contained in the kiyar? And he says the following, that the kiddush is not limited to the water that goes on the hands and the feet of the Kohen. The kiddush is really on all the water of Dalet Kohanim. The shear of Dalet Kohanim is the amount of water in which the kiddush, or by which the kiddush is being accomplished, through which the kiddush is being accomplished. And therefore it's critical that the Dalet Kohanim has to be in a kli sharis. Alright. So let's put this on the side. We're up to Shin Beis, but let's go back to the Gemara. The Gemara asks the following question. Is it really so in this Braisa that any Kli Shoreis is okay for Kiddush Yadayim Ve'Raglayim? It's lav dafka the Kiyar. So the Gemara asks, V'ha mimenu Amar Rachmana? So let me read the entire pasuk. He has it here in the Masifta. It says the following: Vayosem es hakiyar bein oel moed ubein hamizbeach, vayitein shoma mayim lerochta, verochtu mimenu Moshe v'Aaron ubonu v'siyadei v'esragleihem. The pasuk seems to indicate that the rechitzah should take place mimenu, from it. So the Torah in the beginning of this pasuk tells you where the kiyar is located. It's between the oel moed and the mizbeach. After he sits down, he lays down the kiyar in that location. Now there's rechitza in that mimenu from that kli. The implication is another kli just won't do the job. V'ha frek the Gemara mimenu amar achmana yirchatsu. Oh no, I'm sorry, mimenu. That mimenu means it's got to be from the kiyar itself. So the Gemara answers yirchatsu l'rabos klisharis. That the word yirchatsu appears in the Torah twice. That's in the very next pasuk. We'll read bivon el ol moed bekarvasim el isbech yirchatsu. That's one kashetziva Hashem es Moshe and verochtsu mimenu Moshe v'Aaron. So it says rechitza twice. The fact that the Torah repeated the word rechitza a second time unnecessarily is coming from a ribui, and that ribui is to be marba any klisharis. That's roy, it's suitable for kiddush, and it's lav dafka the kiyar. So the Gemara says, wait a minute, if there's a ribui here that you don't need the kiyar, ihachi kli chol nami, maybe we should go all the way, you know, you started a process of expanding beyond the kiyar, why not go as far as you can? Just take a kli, put it in mayim sheyeshbo for dalid kohenim, and then do a kiddush yadayim v'raglayim in the water. You can't say that the extra rochatsu, yirchatsu, is coming to be marbe a kli chol. It could be marbe a kli kodesh, but not a kli chol. How does Abai know that it's impossible, according to the logic of the Torah, to allow a kiddush yadayim v'raglayim to take place in a kli chol? Mikal v'chomer. Alright, so in order to understand this Kal v'chomer, I wish I had a picture, a diagram. The kiyar itself was set on a base that had an opening in it. You know, it's like a box. That base is called kino. I think I have the pasuk here somewhere.
I've seen this at wedding halls and such, they have a replication of the kiyar.
Oh, so you've
so
seen
it? I can start to see it in my head.
Right. So that's called, it's a kiyar v'es kano. Now, if we had a chumash, I don't want to waste time looking, but in Shmos at the very end, Perek Lamed, Pasuk Yud Ches, the Torah describes this base, the base on which the kiyar sat, the moshav, he calls it. And he writes that the bosses, the kiyar had a toch, this kano had a toch, it had a receptacle area, and it was like a box, and he says the kiyar would be sitting inside this kano. Now, the kano, which is the base for the kiyar, since it has a hollow space in it, you could fill it up with water. It's made of copper. And you could theoretically imagine doing a kiddush yadayim v'raglayim in the kano, in the base of the kiyar. And the kano also has a status of a kli shoreis. Says Abai, here's his kal v'chomer, ma kano shenimshach imo, when they did the meshicha, b'shemen ha-mishcha, in order to be mekadesh the kiyar, they did the same meshicha on the kano, on the base itself. So therefore, the Meshicha was Makadish not only the Kiyar, but also the Kano. And nevertheless, Eino Makadish, if you put water into the Kano, you could still not use that water for Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. The Gemara is going to find out later how we know this. It's Kli Chol, She'eino Nimshach Imo. It doesn't have the Meshicha and the Kiddush of a Kli Shoreis. Eino didn't, how much more so She'eino Makadish? If Kano is not Makadish for Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim, then how much more so a kli chol is not makadesh with yadayim for a glayim. Now the Gemara is about to ask kano minolan. How do we know that it's not roy lekiddush yadayim for a glayim? The sanya we learned in the brayser of Yudomer yochel yehi kano makadesh kedesh makadesh akiyor. You might entertain the idea that kano, insofar as it's a kli shoreis, and it had a Mashiach together with the Kiyah, would have the same status as the Kiyah for Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. Talmud Lomar, the Pasuk says at the end of Shmos, we are Sisa Kiyah Nechoshes, Vechano Nechoshes. The Torah went out of its way to put together the Kiyah and the Kano. Now, Lechor, that's antithetical to what we're trying to prove. We want to prove that there's a fundamental difference between the two. In the case of Kiyor, there is Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. In the case of Kano, there's no Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. So he says, L'nechoshes is kshikshativ v'lo l'dover acher. This is not what you call a classical hekesh between Kiyor and Kano. It's only a hekesh to emphasize the material by which each of these two vessels is made. Just like the kiyor is made of copper, so too kano is made of copper. And Adarabba, but the Torah in the extra word nechoshes is telling you a mute. It's telling you that only with regard to one basic halacha is there a comparison between kano and kiyor, and that's with regard to the material from which it's made. That's the dimyon of the kano to the kiyor, the similarity. But other than that, there's no equation between the two, and therefore, as opposed to the Kiyo, which is royal Lekiddush Yadayim Raglayim, the Kano is not royal Lekiddush Yadayim Raglayim. And that gives us the Kal v'chomer v'abaye, that if there's no Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim in Kano, even though it's a Kli Shoreis, how much more so in a Kli Chol, it cannot be Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. Omolei mar zutra breder av mori l'ravina. Why do you tell me that a Kli Chol is completely disqualified for Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim based on your Kal v'chomer? I have a pirch on the Kal v'chomer. I have a kash on the Kal v'chomer. Malakano she'ein osui l'tocho tomer b'klichol she'osui l'tocho. When they created this kano as a base for the kiyor, they didn't have in mind that you would use the receptacle, the area in the box, so to speak, for anything other than the kiyor. So it's not osi l'tocho. It wasn't made for being used as a receptacle. But in the case of a kli chol, it was manufactured as a receptacle. It was made for the purpose of tocho. And therefore, even if kano is excluded from Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim, that doesn't tell me necessarily that kli chol is excluded from Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. We're about to see a piece here, but let's just read one more line. Ella, the Gemara says, "Mimenu lemeute klichol." Enochinami, this kal v'chomer is not going to hold water. Pardon the pun. And therefore, we're not going to assume that the water in the klichol is any worse than the water in the kano. No, maybe it's better than the water in the kano. So why is it that we exclude kano? I'm sorry. Why do we exclude a klichol from Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim? The answer is the word mimenu, because the Torah says that from this kiyor you should do Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. Lim'ute klichol means, mimenu means from the kiyor, and anything similar to the kiyor, namely it has the status of a kli shoreis. Lim'ute klichol, to the exclusion of a klichol, that's not roy l'kiddush. Ihochi kli shoreis nami. I don't get it. If you're telling me that mimenu tells you that you have to use the kiyor, what gives you the right to expand the keli, or the definition of the keli with regard to kiddush, to include any kli shoreis? Why not say mimenu means specifically the kiyor and nothing but the kiyor? The answer is Harabi Rachmana Yirchatsu. Remember, we had the word Yirchatsu twice, which was a rivui, and that expanded it to include any kli shoreis. So the Gemara says Umar Royis. How do you know that the exclusion of Mimenu, the mir of Mimenu, is coming to exclude a Kli Chol? The ribui of Yirchatsu is coming to be marbe a Kli Shoreis that's other than a Kiyor. Why not go the other way around? Why not say that the ribui is going of Yirchatzu is going to be marbe a klichol, because it has a receptacle that's made for receiving water, and the miut of mimenu is coming to exclude a klisharis. Okay, we're going to get. I'm holding my tongue here because I want to get to one more line here in the Gemara, but this is going to be a pella, this marois. Anyway, the Gemara answers. Zed, there's a logical reason here for this, for these two drushes. Zed, the case of a klishar is ton meshicha kamo. It was sanctified by meshicha meshemen amishcha. It has a very great similarity to the kiyar. It's a klishar is because of the meshicha, and therefore, if there's a ribuy of yirchatzu, it makes sense to include any klishar is because of its basic similarity to a kiyar insofar as it was sanctified. But zed, in the case of a klichol, ain't on meshicha kamohu, and therefore, if there's a mute of mimenu, it makes sense to be mamayit a klichol. So, what I want to take a look at now is Simon Tzadivav. Now, we're looking at page Shin Gimel. So, again, I owe you page Shin Beis, which is also a fascinating discussion. But on page Shin Gimel, on the bottom right, I want to just take a look at this. Kushya Sagamor, Ma Rois, Sricha Bir Tuva. How do we understand this, Ma Rois? You can tell me that you can use a Kli Chol in this Ma Rois, based on the Ribu Yirchatsu, for Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim, but a Kli Shares is excluded under the word Mimen. Atu Salkadaitach Lerabos Kli Chol Lumai Kli Shares. First of all, it's not logical to assume that a klisharis is excluded and a klichol is included in the mice of Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. But beyond that, he says, I have a more basic problem. Amaylo yuchal lekadosh b'klisharis midin klichol, meaning the fact that it's not, it was a klichol that had kiddush, that doesn't mean it doesn't have the status as a klichol. We're adding a new kiddusha to it. But what was there before? So if, let's say you own 100 zoos, and I give you another 100 zoos. Now you have 200 zoos, but I didn't take away the first 100 zoos. So in the case of a Kli Shares, I never robbed a Kli Shares of any status, any qualities of a Kli Chol. Whatever qualities of a Kli Chol that it had, it continues to have. I didn't break up the Kli Chol. What I did is I added a Kedusha to it. So if I added a kedusha to it, basically every klisharis is A plus B. It's A klichol, plus it's got the kedusha of a klisharis. But its identity as a klichol is certainly not lost. So how is it possible that a klichol would be suitable for Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim, and a klisharis is excluded? What's this Umar Roy's business? Ulam abir asugya limited tosis yesh farish kushis agamor de pirshu tirits agamor bekodeach mitocho shed not al mayim in akiyar bekli sharks. In other words, in the case where he drilled a hole in the side of the kiyar, he took water from the kiyar with a kli sharks. The Allah koi kushis agmar of ami menu amrachmon of hainu mi emer shim not al beklishares ain't sarach shir dalid koinu kevet shibo mayim and akir name of the aim le kadesh beklishares elim ke yeshbo shir dalid koinu kikliats kikiratsmo. So Tosis asks the question. Well, actually, Tosis interprets the Gemara's question here. That v'amimenu amrachmana. Now, who says that a kli shares doesn't need the shear of dalid kohanim? If you're now drawing the water from the kiyar, then the kli shares that you're going to use should also have the capacity of dalid kohanim. U'meshani, the Gemara says yirchatzu amrachmana. The extra yirchatzu is l'rabos she'im akadish v'kli shares b'mayim she not al min akiyar. Ain't sarach shir dalid kohen. In other words, you could be makadish yadayim raglayim with a klisharis, even if the klisharis does not have the capacity to hold dalid kohen, because it's drawing water from a kiyar. is lefi zeh mevu eres kushas hagemara marois. Now we can understand the Gemara's question of marois. Dahainu marois lerabos sheim mekadesh mikli shoreis b'mayim shekodach min akior ein tzarech shir dal kohanim neima duli olam kol kiddush boi shir. The kra asal rebuye sheim kodach min akior kishir. Eino tzotchei maisa kiddush dafka b'kli shoreis el afilu b'kli chol. He's saying the following, that you the Gemara just established that the ribu is coming to teach you that. Just one second. What was the ribu yirchutu amarach manal rebuye sheim makayish b'kli shoreis ma'im shenatum gine eino tzotchei. So the Gemara now is asking, Ma Rois, who says that the Ribu is coming to a Klisharis with the Kiduach situation in Akiyur? Nemo, we could say, no. We always require a Kiddush of a Shir, of Dalid Kohen. And there's no Ribu of a Klisharis, which doesn't hold, the Kiddush situation, which doesn't hold the capacity of Dalid Kohen. And the Ribu is coming to tell you that, just one second, my Rosh Hashanah Makadish Mikli Shoris B'mayim Shekodach Min Akior, and then you don't need a Shir of Dalit Kohanim. No, you need a Shir of Dalit Kohanim, even in the Kli Shoris. The Kroos Ilerbuye, that even if you have a Kli Chol, then as long as you do a kiduach and the klichol is drawing its water from a kior, then enochinami, the maisa kiddush can be done even in a klichol. You follow that?
Yeah.
Let me go over it one more time.
Okay.
Ukra osi lerebuye shim kadach min akior kishiur is ein tzorech shiyeh maisa kiddush dafka b'kli sharis el afil b'kli chol nami. So maybe the nature of the ribui is such that although there's a requirement of a shir dalit kohanim, but you could gain the dalit kohanim from the kiyar, and the maisa kiddush could be done in a kli chol. Yeah, go ahead.
This kiduach process, is that something l'chakhila that we do, or is it like a bidi of it in order to solve a problem? The kiduach, when I first heard it in Rashi, it seems like you can do this, or is that like part of the whole process?
Oh, no, it's not l'chakhila necessary to do it, but it's a way of facilitating a kiddush in an easier way.
Uh-huh.
So the mechanics, the engineering of it is to offer the kohen an alternative method of kiddush that's a little bit less cumbersome, if you will.
Okay.
So again, let's just go over the marois one more time. You're telling me that if you are doing the kiddush in a klisharis, that's the ribui, that it doesn't need a shir of dalit kohanim. Maybe the answer is mimenu. Teach me that you always need a kiddush with Dalit Kohanim, and the capacity of the Kli has to be Dalit Kohanim. And there's no ribui to tell you that you can circumvent the requirement of a Shir Dalit Kohanim. So what then is the ribui of a Rochatzu? The ribui is going to be that if he does a Kiduach Min Akiur, and he has now the Shir, then he doesn't need a Maisa Kiddush in a Kli Sharis. He can have a Maisa Kiddush in a Kli Chol, as long as the Kli Chol has the capacity for Dalid Kohanim, and as long as the water that's being drawn into the Kli Chol is coming from the Kiyor. Well, Mishani Digmar answers, no. The Kevah, the Kli Sharis, Ton Mishicha Ki Kiyor. Since the Kli Sharis has the status of Kiddusha, because of the Mashicha, like the Kiyar, is Adifal Rebuye Din Nosaf to Shach B'Kli Sharis. It makes sense that the Rebu is coming to teach me a Din in Hilchas Kli Sharis. They ain't Tzarech Shir Dalit Kohanim B'Kodeach Min Akiyar. That even though there's a Shir Dalit Kohanim in the original Kli, in the main Kli, in the Kiyar, you don't have a Shir Dalit Kohanim in the Kli Sharis in which he's doing the Kiddush. That makes sense. Let's go back again to the Gemara. Amar Ish Lakish. Kol Amashlim Lemei Mikvah Mashlim Lemei Kir. Now this is interesting. There's a halacha of Mashlim. In other words, there's a certain minimum amount of water that's necessary for Tvila. For a mikvah. The mikvah has to have the capacity of holding arboim soya mayim. And not only that, the tefillah has to be inside arboim soya mayim. Is it pure water? No. The answer is it's not pure water. Because there's a dovra mashlim. What's a dovra mashlim? That means something that's not really water, but has the same status as water. And it has a certain volume to it, so you could have 39 saw, for example, of mayim, and the last saw, the 40th saw, is made of some other substance. Like, for example, again, I don't know the biology, but the Gemara assumes that there are certain creatures that are created by mayim, whatever that means. And those creatures are mashlim, the shear of a mikvah. So let's say in this 40 saw you have some sort of a fish that was created by the mayim, so that you only really have 39 saw of mayim, but the last saw is filled in by this fish, that would be mashlin, the shear of a mikvah. And the Gemara now says in the name of Reish Lakish that the same principle applies with regard to the kiyar. So you have a shear of dalet kohanim, and that shear of dalet kohanim doesn't have to be comprised of pure water. It could be made up of water and a dovra mashlim.
Is there some kind of a limud to connect kiyar and mikveh?
So that's what we're going to have to see. Because again, until this point, we've been assuming that kiyar and mikveh are two separate halachas. We spoke about mayan, and we said that there's no kiddush yadayim raglayim in a mayan because you need kiddush yadayim raglayim to make kiyar. Kiddush is not the same as tefillah for tara purpose to remove tumah. But here, in the case of Dovra Mashlim, the Gemara has this equation. Now, there's a long footnote here in the Masifta based on Masecht Mikvos, and he says that he had a mikvah of 39 sov, and nafal bo saw no sefes mi mashkim elu. Now this is a whole list of mashkim, of liquids. Again, to be mashkim the shear of a mikveh, you need a liquid. That's upgrade. That's without a question. But there's certain liquids that would not be able to make up a mikveh per se, but they can be mashlim a mikveh. If it's lacking, you can use it for ashlama to supplement the mikveh. And the Mishnah speaks about barad, which is hail, and Shelex, no. I guess all these things are not exactly Mayim. And there's something called a Kfar, which is some sort of freezing rain or sleet. Then there's something called Glid, which is water that got frozen and became ice. And on the list is Melach, salt. That's interesting. Salt is generated by the water. But then he says, Tit HaNirok. Okay, we're talking about mud. Rach, very soft. It's almost like a liquid. And it's pourable from one kli to another. So that also is mashlim mikvah. Now, kol elu, all these substances that are mashlim mikvah, they're liquids which can be added to the water to make up the 40 saw, is all because it's called toldos hamayim. Toldos hamayim means it's generated by the water. And therefore it has the status of mayim. Toldos hamayim kemayim. And that's the way it's made in the natural universe. Okay, as long as it has the status of mayim, even though it's toldos mayim, it's not real mayim, then it's included in a mikveh. The mikveh says you could use all mayim. And since again we're defining and classifying toldos hamayim as mayim, these toldos hamayim are considered part of the mikvah. And he says that this is based on a hekesh between mei mikvah and mayon, and a spring. Because the Torah says in Vayikra Yud Aleph, Ach mayon ubar mikvah mayim yetar. Ma mayon nasa kach bidei shamayim, af mikvah bidei shamayim. In other words, anything that exists in the universe that was created by God is considered Roy Lahashlim. And now we're saying that it's Roy Lahashlim even made Kiyur for the Shir of Dalet Kohen. But Liravias, but as far as Netilas Yadayim is concerned, when you wash your hands of water, you need a Ravias of Mayim. Eino Mashlim. These various liquids, which we gave the list before, cannot supplement the Ravias Lug. You need an actual full-fledged Ravias Lug for Netilas Yadayim. You want to eat a meal, you want to break bread, and nothing less will do, even if you add all these liquids. And it's fascinating that the laws of Netilas Yadayim are more strict than the laws of Tvila and Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. That's something that we have to analyze. But in any event, the Gemara asks the following question: Ute Mai, Reish Lakish came along and he said that there are certain things that are not mashlim to Revius, meaning for Netilas Yadayim. Well, what did he have in mind? You know, it's amongst that list that we mentioned before, all of which are kosher for a mikvah. Which one of them is Reish Lakish excluding for Netilas Yadayim? Elam, if you're going to tell me, Lima'ute Tit Hanaduk, right, we spoke about this mud that's very liquidy, and you could pour it from one cleat to the other, and it's mashlim the shir mikvah. And now Reish Lakish is telling me, but this mud, this liquid mud, sometimes you'll see it after the rains, especially in the country area, is not mashlim revius for Netilas Yadayim, is hechi dami. What exactly is the status or the description of this muddy water, this liquid mud? Either para shocha v'shosva, if an animal or a cow, whatever it is, would drink from this, is then afil revius nami, it should be kosher for Netilas Yadayim. Why? Because with regard to Netilas Yadayim, what's the barometer, what's the litmus test for what is roy for the revius of Netilas Yadayim? It's anything that an animal would eat, would drink, actually, to be more specific. And that's a Mishnah Mikvos. And in that Mishnah, it says that if an animal could drink this mud, then it's mashlim the shear of a revius for Netilas Yadayim, to the same extent that it's mashlim a shear of Arboim Sofer Mikvah. So the Gemara asks, V'i ein parasholcha v'sholsimba, if you're talking about mud that is still thick, and it's repulsive to an animal, it's not even fit for animal consumption, then afilu mikvah nami eino mashlim. Again, the Mishnayos in mikvos that set up the standard for both mikvos and for Netilas Yadayim, for Revius Netilas Yadayim, they insist that any liquids that you want to consider as a candidate for Hashlama have to have one thing in common, that it's fit for animal consumption. So Mimanashal, if you're talking about something that's fit for animal consumption, that's roy, it's suitable even for Netilas Yadayim, for Revius. If you're talking about something that's not fit for animal consumption, then it's not going to help you to be mashlim and mikvah either. Elolim ute yavchushin adumin. But what Reish Lakish came to exclude as far as the Revius of Netilas Yadayim is these creatures that are born from the water. They're called Yavchushin Adumin. He says it's Itushin, he says in the Masifta.
And we can assume do we assume that's a kosher animal or
no. So Itushin? I don't know how many sets of malchus you would get for eating in English.
Mosquito.
Excellent.
But isn't there, I thought if a sheretz lands in a mikvah, it puzzles it.
Well, it depends what kind of sheretz. Is it a sheretz that created by the water? We're talking specifically about Itushim, Shehem Nivru Min HaMayim, Rashi says.
Wow.
Again, I don't know the biology of it, but he says Nivru Min HaMayim.
Yeah, there's something similar about Kinim were created from the sand or something?
Correct, from
from sand or
just one second. I don't know about sand. I know all I remember is that kinim, the Gemara assumes, don't propagate. Mm-hmm. they spontaneously generate. There's no process of procreation, of reproduction. That's called Einam Parim V'Ravim. Biological, and we know that's not true biologically. But again, what these Yavchushim are, some say it's Yitushim, that's Rashi Shita, others say it's Tolaim, the certain worms that are created by the water. And it's interesting, we're talking about some sort of small creature that doesn't have wings, and an animal would continue to lap up this liquid even though there are Yitushim inside of it. So they are mashlim the shir of Arbaim Sov, but they're not mashlim or revius. Now we have to understand Mimarim Shach, again, if it's considered part of the Mayim for mikvah purposes, why shouldn't it be part of the Mayim for Netilas Yadayim purposes? And the Gemara asks if Reish Lakish is talking about Yavchushim, is Afilu Beinayu Nami. Why are we saying that it's mashlim? Why can't it make up the entire 40 saw if it has a din of mayim? To Asanya Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer Kol Shetchilas Tchilas Briyosim and Amayim Matbilim Bo. That anything that is created by mayim is royal tvila. And if that be the case, why are you saying that? Why is Reish Lakish assuming that these Yitushim, which are Tchilas Briyosim and Amayim, these Yavchushim, are mashlim the mikvah? You know, so you already have a mikvah and you need a little bit more liquid, but if you're saying that it's tchilas brios v'nor matbilim bo, means it's mamish mayim, it's considered mayim. And now you have something wild over here. V'yomer Rabbi Yitzchak bar Avdimi matbilin bi'eino shel dag. There's a certain kind of a fish that has an eye, maybe a very large eye, and eventually it becomes nemok. It decomposes. I'm looking for a word, but you know what? I think I can...
Nemok is... melts?
It melts, yeah, something like that. Let me just see. He says here in the English translation that one may immerse in the eye of a fish, a huge fish whose eye has dissolved. Oh, that's the word I needed. What was the word I said? Disintegrated, right? Dissolved is the word. In its socket. The fish originates in the water, and one may immerse in the liquid of its eye, just as he can in actual water. Now he tells you in Greek, in Latin, that the liquid of the eye of the fish is called vitreous humor. V-I-T-R-E-O-U-S. Now, he says that apparently this huge fish is sprawled on the ground and its eye socket contains dissolved jelly of the eye. Yeah, it's very mushy here. He says, since the fish originates in the water, it is viewed as if the water is lying on the ground. And it's a valid mikvah. Wow. It's water.
Valid mikvah, or it's valid to mashlim of it?
No, that's the whole Gemara. The whole kash of the Gemara is that this statement of, who is it? Rav Shimon Gamliel is matbilin bo. Which Rabbi Yitzchak says is a reference to this Eino Shel Dag, matbilin bo, you immerse in it.
It has 40 sail? Talk about a big fish.
Yeah, it's a gigantic fish with a lot of jelly. So according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, all organisms that originate in water are legally classified as water and are fit to compose the entire 40 sa of the mikvah. I didn't write it. Okay, you can take a look. It's footnote number 24. So again, why is Reish Lakish there for talking about Hashlama? He should talk about being made mikvah itself. Yavchushim and Adumim could not be part of Reish Lakish's statement of Mashlim and Amikvah, because Yavchushim and Adumim, like the Eino Shel Dag, because it's considered like water, is a mikvah itself. You can make a whole mikvah out of it. Amar Rav Papa, Lima'ute, Nasan Sa, V'Natal Sa. So the exclusion here in the words of the Mishnah And why the Mishnah says Mashlimim es Hashir Mikvah Arboim So is because we're talking about water that comes from Peros. In other words, there's what's called a Mashke, which is not Mayim, and then there's something called Meperos, which is Mashlim Nashir. So it's not really Mayim, but it has the status of an extension of Mayim. And that's what we're going to learn from a Mishnah in Mikvos. Mikvah Sheish Barboim Sa Michuvanos. It has exactly 40 Sa. Nosan Sa Vinotal Sa. If he adds an extra Sa, that makes it 41. And then he takes out a Sa. And he takes out of a Sa of Mayim that's Mu'uravin Vimashkim Elu, that you have water that's mixed together with Meperos. Hareze kosher. According to the Tanakhama of this Mishnah, it's kosher. In other words, even though now it has 40 saw bediuk, and within the 40 saw is not just water, but what makes up the 40 saw is mashkim, that aren't mayim, nevertheless it's okay. Why? Because he did it in this particular way. He started with 40 saw, he added a saw, and then he took out a saw. In that way, he could be machshir, made peros. V'yomer Rabbi Yehuda bar Shila, Omer Rav Asi, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, ad rubo. How far can he go with this trick of being ma'ariv shar mashkin, other liquids, into a mikveh to make up the shear of 40 saw? Up until ad rubo. Now it's got to be less than 50% of the mikveh. So you could have a mikveh that's 51% water and 41% orange juice, and 49% orange juice, and the mikveh is kosher, and that's called hashlomas hamikveh b'mei peros b'miut, as long as it's not a rove. And on this case, Reish Lakish was saying that these mashkim can be mashlim a mikveh a mekiyar for kiddush yadayim, but not a revius mayim for netilas yadayim. In other words, even if in a case of Netil Sidayim he would do something similar to Nosan Saw and not Al Saw, you know, he'd start with the Revius and then add to the Revius and then subtract from the Revius in such a way that what he's left with is a Revius that's comprised of both Mayim and Meperos, it would be possible for Netil Sidayim, even though it would be kosher for both a Mikveh and Meikiyah.
I'm a little confused because I thought that Mashlimim was if you have 49 seh and then you add another seh. That's in the world of mikvah.
And that's exactly what we're talking about here. Because what happened? He had 40 saw of mayim. He took out a saw of mayim, correct?
Okay.
What does he have now? He has 40, he has, oh, I'm 30, sorry.
39.
Start again. Sorry. He had 40 saw and he added a saw. Okay. So how many does he have?
41.
Okay. Now he takes out the 41st. But keep in mind, I skipped a step here, sorry. So he had 40 saw, he added a saw.
Okay.
What was in that saw? It was mei peros, other than mashkin. Now he adds the saw, he's got 41 saw. So that 41 saw is made up of 40 saw of mayim and one saw of mei peros. Mm-hmm. Now he takes out the extra, but he doesn't take out the mei peros, they're already mixed up into this mixture. So now he has exactly 40 saw. When he took out the extra saw, he's back down to 40. But that saw is made up of, let's say, 39 saw of mayim and one saw of mashkim. Again, it's probably a little less than one saw of mashkim because he took out his saw. But let's say he happened to take out a saw of mayim. What now he has is 39 saw of mayim and one saw of meperos. And that's considered hashlama because it's a liquid. That hashlama process, in the case of revius yayin, would be meaningless. And the mayim for the revius mayim of the tilsi yayin would still remain possible.
But the Rav mentioned earlier, you had a 51-49 ratio, and that confused me. Oh, it's percentage. 51% and 49%?
So he says the following, I'll read to you the English. His addition of a saw, topping it from 40 to 41, was a saw of juice,
okay,
of fruit juices. That increases the volume of the mikveh to 41 saw. Now he removes a saw and brings down the mikveh to 40 saw. Some of the original water in the saw that is removed from the mikveh as a result. Because again, he's not removing just that one saw of fruit juice, he's removing some of the mayim. So now the mikveh no longer contains 40 saw of actual water. Nevertheless, it remains valid, says the Mishnah. And why? Because since the mikveh initially attained a valid status, because it had the requisite amount of 40 saw, the saw of juice that he added doesn't in any way nullify the water, and it can be treated like water itself, and therefore when he removes the saw, and he now has 40 saw that's comprised at least partially, a small fraction of juices, that's okay. Basically what's happening is, if I understand this correctly, there's a prasibitl going on over here. When he takes the extra saw of orange juice and he pours it into 40 saw, that orange juice becomes batel. It's lost in the 40 saw. It now takes on the status of mayim, such that when he removes a saw, even though what's left here is 39.9 saw of mayim and 0.1 saw of orange juice, it's okay. The mikveh is kosher because the orange juice already took on the personality, the identity of mayim through the process of bittul. If he does the exact same thing with revius mayim for netilas yadayim, it's a no-go. So he started with revius mayim, takes an extra amount of liquid, in this case orange juice, pours it into the revius mayim, takes out that equivalent volume, but he's left with now a revius mayim, which is made up of 3.9%, or 99% mayim and 0.1% of fruit juice. It's puzzle because he doesn't have 4 lugim mayim, 4 revius of mayim, for netilas yadayim. Notice the bittul process that works and is operative with regard to mikveh is inoperative with regard to mayim of netilas yadayim. We have to know why, but I'm just saying those are the facts on the ground. So when he adds on top of the revius, he adds another amount of volume of fruit juice. That fruit juice in the mixture still retains its status as fruit juice. It's not bottle in the revius of mayim. And therefore, when he takes out the equivalent volume, he's left with an admixture of mayim plus fruit juice to make up the revius. And that's not good. There's no bittul with regard to revius.
So the connection between the kior and the mikvah, it's compare and contrast. You know, some things in common, other things not in common, and it's...
Right.
But I think I asked this before. Is there a pasuk or a limud to compare mikveh and kior?
Well, we didn't get to that yet. I'm hoping we'll get to that soon. That's a kal vachomer, but I don't want to do it now because I see the hour is getting a little bit late. But let me just see one thing, if I can. If he says something about netilas yadayim here, chaf ches. He says, "Shir muat zeshal revius mayim eno choshu levatel shara mashkin." He's saying that since the mikveh is made up of a very sizable volume of 40 saw, therefore bittul could work. The 40 saw could overcome that small revius of fruit juice. But in the case of the netilas yadayim, we're only speaking to begin with about a very small, limited volume, which is a revius. That revius mayim is not chashuv enough, it doesn't have the overwhelming power to be mevatel other mashkim that fell inside of it. And mikavon shelo nisbatlu is adayin shmam aleihem. Did I have a pencil here? Okay. Adayin shmam aleihem. In other words, they retain their status as what? As mei peros. And mei peros is not kosher for netilas yadayim. So therefore, kishemotzi, if he takes out what he added, then he's left with one revius, and that revius is made up of both mayim and mashkin. And therefore, it's not royal in netilas yadayim. So again, we have bittul works in a gigantic mikveh 40 saw, bittul doesn't work in the revius, the small revius, the humble revius for netilas yadayim. All right, let's stop here. That's what I have.